The second parak deals primarily with Edim coming to the Beis Din to give testimony that they saw the sliver of the new moon, and also the process of informing Klal Yisrael outside of Yerushalayim when the Beis Din had made a decision that it is now Rosh Chodesh. Mishnah Aleph. Im Eina Makirin, so when witnesses come to testify to the Beis Din and the Beis Din doesn't recognize, they don't know if these people are believable or not, the local basin of the town where that person is coming from would send along with that person that was going up to the basin that would be making the decision, is it Rosh Chodesh or not? They would have to send character witnesses, two additional aidim, to give testimony that this aid that saw the sliver of the new moon was believable. Initially, they would take in the basin, Hagadol, they would take testimony from any individual, any from person they came, they say he's believable and he can testify that he saw the new moon. However, Mishakil Kulaminim, when the heretics, they played with the system and they started testifying that it was Rosh Chodesh when it was really not. In other words, they would come up on the after the 29th, the 30th at night, they would say, we saw the new moon and the 30th day is really Rosh Chodesh. It should be a month that is chaser, not malei. Hiskinu shlo yu mekabli melamina makirim. The Beis Din HaGadol Chazal instituted, we're not going to accept witnesses that testify they saw the new moon unless we know who they are or their local Beis Din sends character witnesses with them. Mishnah Beis. Barishona hayu masin masuas. Once the Beis Din makes the decision that it is Rosh Chodesh, for example, or in particular, when they made a decision that the prior month is going to be 29 days and the 30th day is going to be Rosh Chodesh, so the prior month is Chaser, it's only 29 days, not 30 days. So what they would do is they would go out initially on Har HaZeisim and they would light torches, as we'll see later on in the next Mishnah actually, they would light torches and the next mountain over would see that, and this is how they inform mountain over mountain lighting torches. Then everyone would find out further out, even outside of Israel, that Rosh Chodesh was on the 30th day of the month. They would not be waiting till the next day. However, Mishakil Kula Kusim, when the Kusim, these are people that had apparently converted to Yahatus, to Judaism, but whether their Gerus was valid or not was the subject of Machlokas, and there was a lot of animosity between them and mainstream Klal Yisrael. So once they started playing games, also sabotaging the torch system, they went one time and they lit the torches to inform people that it was indeed Rosh Chodesh when it was not Rosh Chodesh. The month was not going to be Chaser, it was going to be a full month Malay. So Hiskinu Yushluchim Yos. They instituted, Chazal instituted, that we need to actually send messengers from the Beis Din and not use the torch system anymore to inform Klal Yisrael when it was Rosh Chodesh. Mishnah Gimel, Ketzar Ayu Masin Masuas. Initially, when they did use the torch system of informing people, how did this work? Mevim Klunasaot, Chel Eres. They were being poles of cedar wood, Arukim, very long, the Kanim. Vikanim, and they would bring, Mevim, Klunasot Shel Eres, Arukim, Vikanim, and they also would also bring, in addition to those large, long poles that they would stand on mountains, they would bring Vikanim, Ba'atzei Shemen, Unora Shel Pishon. These are three additional items, little twigs, pieces of wood, and also flax that was very flammable, Vikorech B'Meshicha, and those three additional items they would tie on with a string, with a rope, onto the Klunasot, onto the poles, so that would be what was lit at the top of the pole, at the top of the beam, the Ole L'Rosh Ahar, and they would go on the top of a mountain, a matzis by Mesaor, and they would light up these torches. They would shake those torches right to left, up and down, all around, until he saw on the next mountain over, further from Yerushalayim, that they saw us and they are following suit. They are also lighting up their torches. And continuing, third mountain, fourth mountain, fifth mountain, all the way out to the Gola. So on which mountains would they shake, would they wave these torches to inform the next mountain and the next mountain? So there was a specific Seder. Mehara Mishcha, the first one was on Har HaZeisim, Lesar Tavata, Umesar Tavata, Le Grofino, Umi Grofino, Le Chavron. This sounds like the Aseres B'nei Haman that we read in the Megillah. Megillah Sester, Mechavron, the base Paltin, and the base Paltin, Lozalev Rasham. So it goes from Har to Har into base Paltin, which was near Punt Pudisa, all outside of Eretz Yisrael, near Bavel. And there, from that place, they would stand on base palting, and they would continue waving up and down all around the torch. Elamoli chumevi malu morid. He would continue doing that. Ashaya roes hagola lefanav kemedura saish, until he saw that the entire area, the gola in Galus, in front of him was one big bonfire. In other words, everyone would come out of their houses when they found out that it was Rosh Chodesh, and they would go on the roofs and they would wave their torches as well. All of Pumpadisa accordingly found out that it was Rosh Chodesh. Mishnehe Chatzar Gedolah Hayisa B'Yerushalayim, when the witnesses would come up and they want to testify that they saw the new moon, they would go to a large courtyard that it was in Yerushalayim, or Beis Yazik, Hayisa Nikra, it was called Beis Yazik, L'sham Kol Ha'edim Mitkansim, and all the Edim would go to that Chatzar, or Beis Din Boskim Oskam Misham, and the Beis Din would come and they would examine the witnesses in that Chatzar. U'she'udos Gedolos Osim La'em B'Yishul Shiregilim Lavan, they would make large seudos, large meals for them, big buffets, big smorgasbords for them, because we should make them comfortable when they come up. We want them to come again. So accordingly, make it a positive experience. Initially, when they would come on Shabbos, because these are people, if they went out of the tchum that they had, tchum Shabbos, 2,000 amos, if they went out of the tchum, there's a halacha that you only have 4 amos, then you're limited to 4 amos. So initially, they would have to stay in that courtyard. That courtyard, effectively, because it's an enclosed area, has the status of 4 amos. Hiskin Rabbi Gamliel Azakin Shu Mahalchin Alpaim Amalakaruch. Rabbi Gamliel said, this is the people are coming up on Shabbos, and we're causing them to be restricted in a very small area. That is not appropriate. They are doing a mitzvah. So Rabbi Gamliel instituted that they could have the same tchum as anyone in Yerushalayim, which would be the entire city of Yerushalayim, and another 2,000 amos outside the city limit. And not only these were they lenient on, that they are not limited when they leave their tchum, they're not going to be limited to 4 amos. A midwife who went out of her tchum to help a woman give birth, somebody who went to save people's lives when there was a fire, he went out of his tchum, to save people from a threatening army, or from a river that was overflowing, that a building that collapsed, despite the fact that typically, because they left her tchum, even for good reasons, they would be limited to 4 amos, but nonetheless, they instituted that these people as well, they would be like the Anshe Ayir, they would like be like the city that they wound up in, or even if they didn't wind up in a city, where if they were in a city, they would have the whole city and 2,000 amos around the city, and if they weren't in the city, they would not be limited to 4 amos, they would be limited to 2,000 amos circumference. Mishnah Vav, Ketzan Boskim Et Ha'edim. We have the Edim. They're now in the Chatzar, and the Beis Din is going to examine them. How would they do that? Zug Shabab Rishon, Boskim Oso Rishon. The couple that came first, the two witnesses that came first, we will examine them the first. U'machnisim Es HaGadol Shepem V'Omrim Lo. And they take the older one of them, and they cordon off the younger one, so he cannot hear this conversation. And they say them as follows, Emor. Ketzan Ra'isa Es HaLavana. How did you describe to us how and where did you see the moon? Was it lifnei hachama? Was the unlit part of the moon towards the sun, which would be impossible? Only the lit part of the sun can be towards the levana. The lit part of the moon can be towards the sun, because the moon is only lit because of the light of the sun. So was it the unlit part of the sun toward the sun? The unlit part of the moon towards the sun? Ola achar hachama. Or was it the unlit part of the moon away from the sun? Litzvona l'doroma. Was the moon in the north of the sky or the south of the sky? Kamahaya gavoa. How far above the horizon was it? Ulayin hayanoto. And the tips of the moon, were they pointing to the south or the north? Kamahaya rachav. And how thick was the crescent of the moon? Amar lifnei achama. If he said that the unlit part of the moon was toward the sun, lo amar klum. His testimony is disregarded. And the same with all the other questions. If his testimony made no sense, he conflicted something that was an impossibility based on the Beis Din's knowledge of the direction of the moon and the location of the moon where it should be, they would disregard that testimony. And if he passed the test, now would they bring in the second person who both came us, and they would also examine him, if they found that the both witnesses, their testimony was in alignment, there were no fundamental contradictions between them, their edus was accepted. And that is all we need to be Mekadesh L'Chodesh. Nonetheless, if other people came up as well, Ushar Kol HaZugos, other witnesses that came, Shoalim Osan Roshay Dvarim, they would be asked the most significant questions, Manan any of the details, Losha Yutrichin them. Not that we needed them at all, because all we need is two witnesses and we have that already. Ela Kadesha lo Yetu Bapacha Snevish, but rather that they should not be disheartened, disappointed. They made the whole effort and they weren't even questioned at all. They couldn't participate in the process at all. If we would disappoint them, it would be likely that they would not come back. So we want them to be coming. So the concern is if we don't ask them any questions, they may not come back in the future. That would be bad. Mishnah Zayin, based in Omer. Once they have examined the witnesses and the witnesses' testimony is correlated between the two witnesses, the Rosh Beis Din says, the head of the Beis Din says, Mekudash. The month is now Mekudash. We are sanctifying that it is now Rosh Chodesh v'chol ha'am oni machrav, and everyone in the congregation, when they heard him say that, they would say twice, Mekudash, Mekudash, it is sanctified, it is sanctified, it's Rosh Chodesh. Ben shenira bizmano, ben shaloni bizmano, whether it was going to be a chaser month, Rosh Chodesh was going to be on the 30th day, or it was going to be on the 31st day, that's Ben Shinira Bizmana, it's time, in other words, the 29th at night, and the 30th, the beginning of the 30th day, Ben Shalonira Bizmana, or at the beginning, after the 30th day, at the beginning of the 31st day at night. Regardless, we go through this process of Makanshina, so the Rosh Beis Din says Mekudesh, and everyone says Mekudesh, Mekudesh, Rebbe Yivrei Elazar, Rebbe Tzadok Omer, Im Lo Nira Bizmana, if it was not seen at its time, Ein Mekadshino. So in other words, only if the month is chaser do we go through the process, and the Rosh Beis Din says it is Mekudesh. Otherwise, we don't say that Shekvar Kitshu HaShemayim, because automatically it's going to be Rosh Chodesh on that 31st day. That 31st day is going to be the first day. We don't need to declare it. Mishnah Ches, when the witnesses came to testify, Rabbi Gamliel had aides to assist those that were not able to describe what they had seen when they saw the beginning of the new moon developing. Demus Tzuras Levanos, Hayul Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel had different shapes. He had forms of the shapes of moons, Betavla, on his table, Uva Kosol, and hanging on his wall, Ba'aliyaso, in his attic, Shebahim Mara et Hadiotos, that he would show the simple people that were not able to describe what they saw. Ve'omer HaKazer Reisa HaKazer, did you see like this, or was it like this? Let them just point to what they saw, rather than trying to describe something that was too difficult for them. Ma'ase Shabbos Shnayim Ve'amru. We have a couple of now stories of people that gave testimony that was in doubt whether their testimony could be accepted, and Rabbi Gamliel indeed did accept their testimony because it did correlate with his own computations of when the new moon should be seen. So this is the first ma'isa. Ma'isa Shabbos Shnayim Ve'amru. There was a ma'isa that two people came and testified, but they said as follows: Ra'inuha Shachris. We saw the old moon in the morning of the 29th, Bamizrach, in the east side of the sky, Va'arvis, and at night, in other words, after the 29th completed, at the beginning of the 30th at night, we saw the new moon, Va'arvis B'marav, in the west side. This is in west side of the moon. This is, in fact, impossible, because you need at least 24 hours astrologically between the old moon and the new moon showing up. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Menuri, Eidei Shekerem, Rabbi Yochanan Menuri says they are false testimony. It's impossible what they're saying. Kishabo, Liyavne, Kiblan, Rabbi Gimel. Nonetheless, they made the trip to Yavne, and Rabbi Gimel accepted it. He was of the view that what they cited in the morning of the 29th, the old moon, was simply a mistake, and he relied on their having seen the new moon after the 29th, on the 30th, so he made it Rosh Chodesh on the 30th day, now became the first day of the next month. It was a month that was chaser. Rabbi Gamliel, in fact, that did correlate with his own computations that it should be a month that was chaser. In another situation, V'od, Ba'ushnayim V'am, another situation, another two witnesses came, and they said as follows, Re'inubi Zmana, we saw it on the night of the 29th, after the 29th ended. This was talking about the month of Chishrei, Ubalel, Ibrua, Lonira, but however, it was not seen after the 30th. So how did they see it on the 29th, after the 29th, at the beginning of the 30th, and not after the 30th, beginning of the 31st? V'kibam Rabbi Gamliel. Nonetheless, Rabbi Gamliel accepted their testimony. Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Harkonas, Eidei Sheker, and their false witnesses. Heyach ma'idin ala isha she'alda. How can they be giving testimony on a woman that she gave birth, umachar, and the next day, kresha ben shina, and we see the next day that she's still pregnant. Amor lo Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus, who made this statement, Ruah ani es tevrach, I agree with you. Rabbi Gamliel made a mistake. Rosh Chodesh should not be on the 30th day of the prior month, making that Rosh Hashanah. It should be the next day, on the 31st day of the prior month of Elul, making the 31st day into Rosh Hashanah. And in other words, now we're going to have another ramification that each Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are going to compute Rabbi Yom Kippur to be on a different day. According to Rabbi Gamliel, it's going to be what's his 10th of Tishrei, and according to Rabbi Yeshua, he's going to believe it's the next day. He says the next day was Yom Kippur, the 10th of Tishrei. The prior day, when Rabbi Gamliel celebrated Yom Kippur, was then the 9th day of Tishrei. So now we have an important machlokas going on at this time, and the machlokas is between Rabbi Gamliel, who was the head of the Beis Din, and Rabbi Yeshua, who's the Av Beis Din, who's the second in command at the Beis Din, and this is indeed a problem. We're going to have different people in Klal Yisrael celebrating, commemorating, holding Yom Kippur on different days. So now Rabbi Gamliel is concerned that's going to happen. He has to make sure that there is cohesiveness in the observance of Yom Kippur. Shalach lo Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel sends to Rabbi Yeshua a message. Gorzorani alecha shetavu etzli b'makelcha uvimosecha b'yom ha-kippurim shachalios b'cheshboncha. I make a decree that you will show up with your chol items. In other words, with your walking staff and your money. Bring your wallet. On the day, bring your cell phone. We want to make a public proclamation by your actions that you are adhering to the dictates of the Beis Din as guided by me, that Yom Kippur is not the day that you think it is. So you have to come in public on the day that you think is Yom Kippur and make it clear to everyone you are not celebrating Yom Kippur on that day. Halach umatzo Rabbi Akiva made it. So Rabbi Akiva saw Rabbi Yeshua didn't know what to do. Rabbi Yeshua was in sorrow. He did not want to be mechal Yom Kippur on the day that he thought was Yom Kippur. Amar lo. So Rabbi Akiva says to him, Yeshli lilmod shekol ma she'asar Rabbi Gamliel asui. I have a limud ben apasuk that anything Rabbi Gamliel, as the head of the Beis Din, makes a decision when it comes to establishing the chagim, it's his decision. It's binding upon all of Klal Yisrael. Shenemar Eilim Moadei Hashem Tikrei Kodesh. These are the holidays, the holy holidays, the festivals of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Aser Tikru Osam, as they are dictated, as they are called, as they are decided upon by them, by the Beis Din. So whatever the Beis Din decides, whether they're correct or we think they're incorrect, and even if they really are incorrect, it doesn't matter. Their decision is binding. Bein bizmanan, bein shelo bizmanan, whether they declare the festivals in the proper times or the incorrect times. Ein li mol ados ela ilu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, those are my festivals regardless. So now, Rabbi Yeshua has heard that he has to adhere to the dictates of Rabbi Gamliel. That's what Rabbi Akiva said. And now, balo eitzel Rabbi Dusa ben Erkanes. And now he comes to Rabbi Dusa ben Hurkanes, who initially in the prior Mishnah was also of the view that Rabbi Gamliel made a mistake. Amar lo, and now Rabbi Dusa ben Hurkanes says to Rabbi Yeshua the same thing that Rabbi Akiva said. Once the Beis Din says what it says, once it makes the decision, we have to follow, and he brings a different rationale. Im bayim anu ladun achar Beis Dino shel Rabbi Gamliel, if we're going to start challenging the decisions of Rabbi Gamliel, trichin anu ladun achar kol Beis Dino Beis Din, we're going to have to challenge all of the decisions of every Beis Din she'amad miyamos Moshe v'adashav, that was from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until now. Shene'emar, and here is the pasuk Vayal Moshe v'ar nadav aviyu v'shivim mizikne Yisrael. This is his proof that what the Beis Din decides, we have to adhere to them, because it says Shivi Mizikne Yisrael, the 70 elders of Klal Yisrael, the Sanhedrin, it did not say their names. So what do we learn from that? V'loma lo nisparshu shemosam l'sal zakenim. So here Rabbi Dosa ben Hurkanes in his Limud says, why didn't it say to us who were the specific people on the Beis Din? Ela Lamed is coming to teach us, called Shlosho, Shlosha Sha'amdu Beis Din Al Yisrael, any Beis Din that we have, any valid Beis Din of three or more, Harehu Beis Din Shel Moshe, it's like this Beis Din of Moshe. In other words, we have the institution of a Beis Din. We need to follow it, and we can't start analyzing. Maybe the Beis Din of Moshe Rabbeinu was stronger, they were better, but Dayanim, but ours they're not. That's why it didn't say the names of the Dayanim in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, for us to not make an analysis, and simply when his Beis Din makes a decision, it could be that our Dayanim are even greater than those of Moshe. We don't know, and it doesn't matter. We have to adhere to the dictates of the Beis Din. So once Rabbi Yeshua heard from both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Dosi ben Hurkanes that the decision of Rabbi Gamliel is binding as to when Yom Kippur is, Natal Maklo Me'also Biado, he took his walking staff, and he took his money in his hand on the day that he believed was Yom Kippur, V'halach Liavne, he went to Yavne, where the Beis Din Agadol was, where Rabbi Gamliel was, Eitzel Rabbi Gamliel, went to Rabbi Gamliel, B'yom Shechal, Yom HaKippurim, Lios B'cheshbonon, the day that Yom Kippur was Yom Kippur, based on Rabbi Yeshua, his own calculation, Amar Rabbi Gamliel and Ashakal Rasho. We see here that this Rabbi Yeshua is subjugating himself to the decision of Rabbi Gamliel. He's quote-unquote being Mechalo Yom Kippur on the day that he thought was Yom Kippur. Now when Rabbi Gamliel sees him, he stands up for him as if he's standing up for his Rebbe. He gives Rabbi Yeshua on his head a kiss. Amar Lo Bobishlam, come in peace. We have instituted peace back in Klal Yisrael, that we have cohesiveness. And when the Chagim are, you are my Rebbe, V'talmidi, you are my Rebbe and my student. Rebbe B'chokma, you are my Rebbe and knowledge, V'talmidi, Shekibalta Devarayin, you are my student as well, because you have accepted my words. You have accepted that Yom Kippur is going to be on my day and not yours, and accordingly we have redeemed. We have established that the Beis Din is the ultimate body that makes the decisions for Klal Yisrael as when to the festivals, and other decisions are as well.